Hey, welcome to episode number 276 of the podcast, More Than Bread. If you're just joining us for the very first time and you didn't realize that there are actually 275 episodes that you missed, then after Easter, when this Lent series ends, I hope you consider going back and listening to some of the rest. We started with a 40-plus episode fast track through the whole New Testament, and since then, we've done two Gospels, Mark and John. We did about 50 Psalms and took a journey through Paul's letters from prison. Oh, yeah, like the Lent series, I also did an Advent series. You can leave that one for next Christmas. In any case, as an intro to More Than Bread, let me simply say I don't do this 20-minute pause in Scripture five times a week because I don't have enough to do. I'm not looking for more to do. But I do believe that anytime I put time into God's Word, it's time well spent. And the same for you. I believe that with all my heart. The title More Than Bread comes from a statement made in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus actually said, people cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in other words, if we want to truly thrive, we need more than stuff. We need more than our greatest dreams come true. We need the Word. We need every word that comes from the mouth of God. It brings us life. It guides our life. Because when the Spirit of God breathes life into the people of God through the Word of God, we begin to live like Jesus. We thrive. So we're in the midst of a series for Lent, number 26 in this series. Our theme is preparing for more. Lent is a season of preparation for more of God. And that's how I think of Easter and the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the grave and defeated death, he let loose the more of God throughout the world. Resurrection power was let loose in the world. And the personal filling of the Spirit became available. Standard equipment for every Jesus follower. That's the more of God. But there's ways for us to prepare, to receive, to live in, to operate from the more. So as part of our preparation for more, we've been looking at three streams of spiritual practices. Giving up, we focused on fasting. Giving in, we looked at surrender and repentance. And now we're looking at giving away. For those who practice Lent regularly, that's almsgiving. You use that word. Or generosity, but specifically generosity to those in the margins of life. Generosity to the poor, the broken, the hurting, those who are in need, who cannot do anything in some ways, except hold out their hands and say, please help me. For the last two episodes, we looked at almsgiving through the eyes of Jesus in Matthew 25 and 26. And in this episode, I want to back up just a little bit and talk about a time when Jesus practiced almsgiving. He fed the hungry. Now, let's be honest. There's no better model for our almsgiving, for our generosity than Jesus. So listen along as I read John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13 from the New International Version. Here's what it says. Sometime after this, and I'll come back to what the after this is. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. And then Jesus went up on a mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, Where can we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this, says in verse 6, only to test him, because he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him and said, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, well, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will that go among so many? Jesus said to them, have the people sit down. Now, these are my words, but I think the reason Jesus wanted them to sit the people down was because he wanted his disciples in the midst of the people, rubbing shoulders with the people. Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, it says in verse 10, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. That's only counting the men, not because only the men count, but that's how they did it in that culture. So this was a huge crowd, probably 15,000 to 20,000 people total. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves and he gave thanks and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Now gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now, let me just say this before I say anything about the story. I just felt like more than one of us need to hear this. Listen to me. You matter to God. Jesus loves you more than you know. The Spirit of God right now is hovering over the chaos of your life, working above and beyond you in ways that you can't see. And whether you find yourself in the updraft of a great season of life right now, or you're just so weary of a hard and seemingly hopeless time, I want to tell you the best is yet to come. Because there is more of Jesus for you. There's more than enough Jesus for every hunger of your heart and every hope of your life. He's more than enough. And I'm praying that in just these next few moments, those words, "He's more than enough, there's more than enough," that those words will just sink deep into your soul. One of the reasons that I love this story when it comes to helping those in need around us, comes to being generous, is that it's a reminder that while I might not have enough to help everyone, Jesus does. I think too often we have this uneasy sense that I simply do not have what's needed to meet the need. So I look away. I don't step into it because I don't have enough. I mean, God understands that, right? Can't give what I don't have. God, you can't ask me to be their friend. Their needs are so deep. I just don't have enough time. Do you know what it would cost my family, my kids? Can't give what I don't have. And I guess if there's one message that I would love for us to lean into today, it's these 5 words: there is more than enough. There's more than enough. Listen to those words again. There is more than enough. God is the God of more than enough. Now, I'm going to focus primarily on John's rendition of the story, but I also want to give you Matthew's because he adds some context that is kind of important, I think. So Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 16, Matthew says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news," that's the after this of John 6, the early part. "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'That isn't necessary. You feed them.'" Now, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he wanted to be alone. And what was the news? What had happened? Well, it was hard stuff, hope-draining stuff. That morning, Jesus woke up to a report about the death of John the Baptist, his cousin, perhaps even a close friend, killed by Herod the king as a gift for his niece, the daughter of his brother's wife, Herodias, with whom he was having an affair. I know, it sounds like a terrible soap opera. Not only that, but Herod is probably at least threatening to come after Jesus as well. This is a time of great uncertainty and hope draining. It's a time of loss. And Jesus is struggling, he's grieving, he's discouraged. I don't know, maybe even a bit angry. I mean, he was human like that, right? And he realizes he needs to get away, clear his head, get alone with God and pray. Because Jesus knew that God is more than enough. So he's trying to get alone with God, but the crowd just wouldn't leave him alone. When you read through the Gospels, it seems like Jesus always drew a crowd. So Jesus gets out of the boat. He saw the crowd and says he had compassion on them. Now, Matthew uses the Greek word splenitsomai. I love that word, splenitsomai. He used that word to describe Jesus' compassion, and it literally meant a sensation in the guts. Like, this was a heartbreaking, head-spinning, gut-wrenching feeling. Not just silent tears, but groans of anguish that prompted action. He didn't just have compassion. He was moved with compassion. Because people matter to Jesus, and they still do. All people, every label we can devise, every sin represented, every brokenness imagined, every prideful, "I've got it under control, don't need you" person in your neighborhood, people who wear their brokenness on the outside and people who hide it on the inside, lost people who ridicule your faith, Jesus says, "I want you to see them through my heart." Now, the disciples, on the other hand, as evening came, they're asking Jesus to send the people away. Come on, Jesus, enough is enough. And we don't have enough. Send them away so they can get food and we can get rest. Jesus saw sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. The disciples saw needs without resources, and they were moved to look the other way. See, here's the deal. A scarcity mentality will drain my heart, and a lack of compassion will blind my eyes. A scarcity mentality will drain my heart, and a lack of compassion will blind my eyes. The disciples, at least in this moment, they have a serious scarcity mentality. They've lived a long time with hunger, and they know they don't have the resources to meet the needs of the crowd, so they look away. That's what we do when we think we don't have enough to help. Which brings me to our first need. Say this with me. Make it a prayer and just say this with me. Pray it with me. God, give me compassion that moves me. God, give me compassion that moves me. Say that. God, give me compassion that moves me. Give me a heart that won't look away, like Jesus. He could have just said, Father, I can't give them what I don't have. I'm hurting, Father. You know what happened to John. I'm just not now, maybe later. I just don't have enough. But instead, Jesus realized that God has more than enough. And we'll see it again in John's rendition of the story, starting in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. It says, Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people come to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked him, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, John says, because he already knew what he was going to do. And Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Literally, Philip said, it would take 200 denarii, Jesus. And a denarius was about a day's wages. It'll take about 6 months' wages, Jesus. We don't have that much, not nearly. We need more than we have to meet this need. I can't do it. I don't have enough. I just wonder how often has been that been my response. Our response. We look around and we compare the size of our need to the capacity of our size and thinking, God, you want me to do what? I don't have enough. John tells us that Jesus was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do, but first a test of faith. See, Jesus is testing Philip's trust in God's capacity. His trust in the statement, there's more than enough. Jesus, it would take a small fortune. We don't have enough. See, Jesus is asking from an attitude of abundance, and Philip is answering with a mentality of scarcity. And I just wonder how often we miss Christ's invitation to join him in a miracle because we think he's leaving the solution up to us. So we count our coins and strategize our plans and work up our gumption only to realize, yeah, can't do that. Don't have enough. Can't give what we don't have. See, Jesus is looking for a yes, and too often all we have is a yeah, but. Yeah, but. You know, I think Jesus was hoping Philip might say, well, let's see, Jesus. Not that long ago, I watched you turn 6 pots of water into 768 bottles of fine wine. I was there when you healed that guy's son with just a word, long distance. Then there was that guy at the pool, crippled for decades. He didn't even know you were you, but still you healed him. He walked. So let's see, Jesus, where are we going to get bread? I don't know. You tell me. Jesus, just tell me what you want to do. I'm pretty sure you got this, and I just don't want to miss it. And see, even today, God is looking for people who believe that Jesus is more than enough for every person who comes our way with a need that we cannot meet. Can I say those 5 words again? There is more than enough. He's got more than enough. So that's the second request. Just say that. Pray that with me. God, give me more faith. God, give me more faith. Give me a compassion that moves me, but God, give me more faith. In John 6, 8 through 11, it says, then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, well, there's this young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Jesus says, tell everybody to sit down. So they all sat down, and Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. And afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Before we dove into this story, I said that Jesus is the best model for giving to those in need. No one did it better. No one was a better alms giver than Jesus. But every once in a while, someone else comes close. We catch a glimpse. Because God is always shaping our hearts to be more like the heart of Jesus if we'll let him. Every once in a while, we catch a glimpse of Jesus in the heart of somebody around us. And in this case, the glimpse comes in the heart of a young boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. We don't know very much about him, but let me make some guesses. Barley was the bread of the poor. It was cheap grain. This is a poor community. The farmers are taxed heavily. Their land is frequently lost to the rich. He's not just a young boy. He's a young boy living in the margins of life. The word for fish indicates that this was more like a sardine than a freshwater trout. And it's probably all he's got. It's not all for him. If he doesn't bring this home, his family goes hungry. When they ask him for his food, he has no idea what Jesus is going to do. All he knows is that he's being asked to give all that he has so someone else can eat. He's being asked to surrender his stuff for someone else's need. And you understand, this kid has no idea. No idea. He's on the verge of being part of a miracle that'll be told for thousands of years to billions of people. No idea that Jesus is going to take his poor boy sandwich and turn it into a feast for thousands. And in fact, in the moment when he's asked, faith probably feels more like an unfair burden than an invitation to a miracle. Seems more like a risk than a reward. Do you understand? Sometimes, maybe often, giving the hope of Jesus to somebody else, it requires the risk of faith. And faith often resembles surrender. So here's a final request to ask God. Will we say this? Just pray this with me. God, give me courage to live with open hand. Just say that wherever you're at. Whisper it if you're in a crowd. God, give me courage to live with open hands. See, Jesus never asks us to give what we don't have. He asks us to exercise a faith that gives what we have, even knowing that it's not enough. He asks us to trust his more than enough. I love the ending to this story. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now go gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 stinking baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. And when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, not just the eating, I mean, that was enough, right? 12 baskets of leftovers. They exclaimed, surely this is the prophet we've been expecting. Everyone was full. It was likely a crowd that could fill the Bryce Jordan Center. Not just a taste to whet the appetite. Not just hors d'oeuvres. 12 baskets of leftovers after thousands upon thousands of hungry people ate all that they wanted. My goodness. Most of us have heard of Michael Jordan, one of the all-time great NBA players, but few have ever heard of Jack Haley. In the championship run of 1996, Jack was basically Dennis Rodman's babysitter. He played in one game, an easy victory for the Bulls. When Haley came in, the Bulls were leading by 30, and Jordan had already scored 50 points. Jack scored 1 point in that game. Later in an interview, Haley said, I cannot wait for the day. One day I'll be able to tell my grandkids about the day that Michael Jordan and I scored 51 points together. A crowd, thousands and thousands, 15,000 plus people were fed that day. I used to wonder what happened to the leftovers, 12 baskets full. I used to think, I hope they marched those baskets to the home of that kid who took the risk of faith to live with open hands. But you know what? Maybe it doesn't matter who got the leftovers, because that day, oh my goodness, that day was not about food. And for the rest of his life, this young man would be able to talk about the day that together he and Jesus fed a crowd. And then I thought, as the years went by, I hope that young man would come to realize that in the end, the best part wasn't even the adventure of feeding a crowd with Jesus. The best part was Jesus. That was the day he met Jesus. That was the day he found the bread of life that would satisfy the deepest hungers of his heart, because in the end, Jesus is the bread of life, and he is more than enough. And so really the last request, the most important request, God, would you give me Christ? God, give me Jesus. I need more Jesus Would you give us more Jesus? God, I'm praying, would you fill every person listening with Jesus? Would you fill us with the Spirit of Jesus? Would you give us the heart of Jesus and the courageous open hands of Jesus and the faith in your more than enough that Jesus had? God, would you help us to live every day with Jesus and like Jesus and for Jesus? But would you help us as we live like Jesus to give the people around us living proof of a loving God? God, thank you for giving us Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.